But Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which have sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory and forever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. Now, God, I pray that you'd bless, Lord, the teaching of your word tonight. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, and speak to us. And, Lord, I pray that you'd challenge our hearts, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not normally too nervous when I preach, but for some reason, I'm a little nervous tonight. So you pray for me, if you will. Paul was the author of the book of Philippians, and he wrote the book while he was imprisoned in Rome. The writings of Philippians was prompted by a visit from Epaphroditus, who was delivering a contribution from the church at Philippi to Paul. One thing is very clear from the writings of this epistle, that Paul was very dear to the church at Philippi. And just as Paul was very close to the church of Philippi, I'm very close to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Other than my 4 years in Bible college, this is the only church I've ever attended. I've attended Blessed Hope ever since I was a tiny baby. Cute one at that, amen? And I got to get some humor in here, because if not, things are going to get messy quick. There you go. I went from cute to handsome. That's what happened. So, amen, brother. Thanks for the support, amen. I've never paid tithes to any other church except this one. Although I'm not writing from a prison cell, at least not yet. Who knows, one of these days. And no, I'm not moving hundreds of miles away. And yes, I still will be coming back occasionally. This is my last service as a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Chapters of my life as a member of this church are coming to an end as we begin a new phase of a life that God has called us to do. Now, I have in my notes that I'm not a big crier, and most of the time I'm not. And you can ask my wife, I seldom cry. Maybe it's because of my hard stinking heart. I don't know. But there's some things I need to say tonight. And I want to bring a Bible study that I've entitled this, A Farewell to the Beloved. A Farewell to the Beloved. When contemplating what I needed to say, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and what better way of saying them by looking at what another man of God said to a church that was very precious to him. And I want to say a few things tonight to Blessed Hope Baptist Church by looking at what Paul said to the church of Philippi. I got seven things that I want to say that Paul said to Philippi that I want to echo to our church here tonight. Number one, look at verse 1, if you will. Notice what the Bible says. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And the first thing I want to say to Blessed Hope Baptist Church tonight is this, that you are very close and dear to my heart. The term dearly beloved here that Paul uses is a term of endearment. It expresses a closeness, a dearness to the church at Philippi. And although Paul loved and cared for all his churches, this church meant a little more to Paul because of the extra love and care that they had for him. And how can I begin to describe the closeness and dearness that I have for this church? And I have in my notes as I look out across the auditorium, but I can't do that right now. But if I were to look out across the auditorium, I'd see people who used to be my Sunday school teachers when I was a kid. I see people who taught me in the Christian school, ladies who put up with me as a monitor when I was a student, men who invested in my life by teaching me things as a teenager and that added to the work ethic that my dad instilled in me. I see some of you who have baked me pies and slipped me cards at Christmas time with some money in them. That was a tremendous blessing to my family. And I don't even want to know, but maybe there's even some ladies in here who changed my diaper as a kid. And if you did that, then you can just, amen, keep that to yourself, amen. But I have no doubt that maybe there are some ladies in here that did so. I see those who now at one time taught me also taught my children as Sunday school teachers. You know what I see? I see my church family. And by the way, you know what? That's what we are. We're family. Not only are we a family, but you know what, church? We need each other. Let me just encourage y'all tonight. Don't allow the devil to use you to destroy the unity of the church family. You know, just like any other church family, there's going to be some differences and issues from time to time. You know, everybody has that crazy uncle or aunt that makes family reunions interesting, to say the least. And you know what we got to do as a church family? We got to learn to love each other. We got to learn to laugh at ourselves. And we got to learn to forgive when we mess up. You know, I'm glad that when there's been times that I've had to come to some of you and ask you to forgive me for something stupid I've done, that you know what I found? I found love and forgiveness. And that's what we're supposed to do. By the way, if the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something in your heart, maybe there's someone that you've offended or done wrong to. Listen, church, don't let that fester up. Humble yourself. Go to that brother and sister. By the way, that's what the Bible says to do. And make it right. You know, I've always believed that if we would just communicate, if we would just go to one another the way the Bible says, we can keep these differences out of the church. And Blessed Hope, I just want you to know that you know what? That you are very close and dear to my heart. I love every one of you very much. Many of you I've known my whole life. Some others of you I've only known for a few years or maybe even a few months. But you know what? We're all a church family. And just as Paul thought that the church of Philippi, he addressed them as his dearly beloved, and he said that twice, I just want you to know that you are my dearly beloved. And I love this church family. The second thing I want you to know is we look at verse 3, if you will. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. The second thing I want you to know tonight is this, that we're still going to be working together. Notice the words that Paul used to describe the members of Philippi. He used the words true yoke fellow, fellow laborers. You know what? They didn't have to be in the same place to be considered a true yoke fellow or a fellow laborer. Why? Because they were all working for the same Lord for the same cause. Let me say here tonight, White River Baptist Church is going to be simply an extension of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. By the way, that's the biblical pattern. Churches reproducing themselves. You know, the church isn't an organization. The church is a living organism. And by the way, what do living things do? You know what they do? They reproduce themselves. I had a pastor from the area not too long ago, and not someone that's necessarily of our same stripe, but someone who was talking with me about our church plant. And he said something to me. He says, you know what? He says, I hope you don't think that you're going to go to Princeton and build another Blessed Hope. By the way, that didn't surprise me. He said that considering the source, considering who it was that said it. You know, someone who doesn't do much for the Lord always wants to take pot shots at those who are. What I should have asked him was this: how's your bus ministry doing? Oh, wait a minute, you don't have a bus ministry. How many people have you seen saved? Oh, yeah, wait a minute, you don't go soul winning. Hey, listen, church, hey, we shouldn't be surprised by that when people attack us for what we do for the Lord. It's always been the religious crowd that gave Jesus the hardest times. By the way, if something works, why reinvent the wheel? Hey, last time I checked, Blessed Hope Baptist Church was doing some pretty good things in a small rural community. Now, I understand that things are going to be a little different. I mean, Princeton's not Jasonville, okay? But what's not going to be different is the doctrine, the preaching, and the biblical method of building a church. As I've been traveling, I've heard 3 or 4 times people say to me that after they heard me preach, that they thought they were listening to Pastor Jerry Ross. By the way, you know what? I took that as a compliment. I wasn't offended by that. To me, that was of something of great honor. Why shouldn't I sound like him? Now, I don't go on purpose try to, you know, imitate him. There were guys back in the 80s or 90s when Brother Hiles was preaching, you know, they'd get a little weird and start imitating his little cough and all that kind of stuff, okay? I don't on purpose try to imitate Pastor Jerry, but you know what? Why should the things that he's invested in me not come out? And you know what? What I'm trying to say is this. You know what? We're going to be laboring together to see the same results. I want White River Baptist Church to do the same things that this church is doing here. The motto of our church, it's on our church sign, it's on a lot of our things of our church, is this: a church with a heart for people. By the way, where do you think I learned that at? Isn't that what we're doing here? Isn't that why we go to the nursing homes and run the buses and try to reach as many people as we can? I mean, we're not doing it for personal gain. Last time I checked, it's pretty expensive to run those buses. It takes people. It takes effort. You know why we do it? Because we love people. And that's what we're going to be doing 70 miles to the south of here. We're going to be laboring together. Laboring together. The third thing I want to say to you tonight, look at verse 10. Notice what it says. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Verse 15 and 16. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And the third thing I want to say to the church tonight is this: thank you for all the financial support. Let me tell you why we're able to do what we've done so far in Princeton. You know why? Because of the hardworking people of this church that have sacrificially given to the cause. That's why. You know that the statistic is that over 50% of church plants fail. That's one in every two fail. And you know the main reason for the failure is because most guys that are starting churches don't have a home church backing them financially the way this church has backed our church plant. In fact, when I share with people that our plan, the plan that we've had and how we've worked that plan and how we've gone about planning White River Baptist Church, most people look at me in awe. They can't believe that a church would pour that kind of resources into a church plant. Thank you, Blessed Hope, for being willing to give of your resources to see that a church gets planted in an area that desperately needs one. And by the way, I told you stories, but if there's an area in our state that desperately needs a church, it's that area right there. I don't know if I told you this or not, because I've told so many people so many different things, and I've been talking to so many different people, and I think maybe I did share this with you. But the week I was at football camp, I got a call from a lady who had found one of our packets again. And she wanted to give us an organ. And of course, you know, we don't have anyone that plays the organ, and we really don't have room for an organ, but she said that her father was a preacher and that she wanted the organ to go to a place that would honor, you know, what her father stood for. And she could just tell by reading our information that they were that type of church. She began to ask me questions, and she just began to ask me some simple Bible questions, and I was, you know, I just answered her biblically, and she couldn't believe. She says, you know, you're the only pastor I've ever talked to that can answer these questions in a biblical way. And these weren't hard questions. These were just basic Bible questions. And I began to ask her and talk with her, and she says, this is what she told me. She's like, I hope you know what you're getting into coming to Princeton. She says, this town is a spiritual war zone. She says, Gibson County has one of the highest suicide rates in the state. So there's been over in the last, I want to say 24 months, 12 young people from the high school that's committed suicide. And she said they're all doing it the same way. They're all leaving the same things written in their notes. She says there is a demonic spirit of suicide that resides in this town. She's like, I hope you're ready to battle that. That's what she told me. She says, me and my husband we're trying to move out of Princeton because there is not a church in this town that can help us spiritually. And I said, well, I said, I don't believe in accidents. And somehow, you know, our paths crossed. I asked her, please don't move till you at least give our chance, church a chance. And so we talked and we got some contact information. But church, listen, there's an area that desperately needs a church. Let me tell you why we can go down there and do what we're doing, because this church has put your money where your mouth's at. That's what you've done. You haven't just talked about wanting to plant a church. You've proved it by giving. Thank you for having a vision beyond the property here in Jasonville. Thank you for taking the money that could have been used to pave the parking lot faster. Amen, Brother Tom. And that maybe could have been used to buy the new carpet that Pastor so desperately wants. And by the way, we need. Amen. But you know what? That could have been used for umpteen different projects that need to be done. But you took the resources to see that White River Baptist Church get started. Thank you for supporting our family with the weekly paycheck. Again, most sending churches send out their church planner with $100 a month, a God bless you, and a promise to pray for them. And by the way, those things aren't necessarily bad, but this church has gone above and beyond in your financial support for this new church plant. I think you know this, but God's financial plan for his work is through the tithes and offerings of his people. By the way, God's not limited by resources. Okay? He's only limited by the willing vessels giving what he gives them. And this church is a living example of taking what God gives you and investing it in his work. Now, Lord willing, in the future, I have plans on reproducing this same plan and starting churches in southern Indiana. Now, I know at first we wanted to reach both Princeton and Vincennes. That was kind of our vision. But, you know, the Lord knew and he had other plans. Now, I remember the first day we got on that bus and drove down there, and we drove you men to some different properties, and we were praying over those properties. But one thing that pastor reminded us of, and he reminded us of the fact that, you know what, before we even get on this bus and drive down there, God knows where he wants his church to be planted. And you know what, at first, we thought it was going to be something that we wanted, something we were excited about, some property halfway in between so we could both reach both areas. But you know what, God knew best. And I always prayed, God, I want what you want. Just lead us to the place you want us to be. And you know what? God did that exact same thing. And I think God knew that he wanted us to right now focus on Princeton. By the way, if you've made that drive, you know, sometimes when you're looking at a map and you're figuring logistics, you know, some things don't seem as far as they really are. But if you've been down there and made that drive, there's quite a bit of distance between Vincennes and Princeton. And I don't think God knew that he didn't want us to stretch us too thin and want us to at least focus for now on Princeton. But you know what? I want White River Baptist Church in the future to do in Vincennes what Blessed Hope Baptist Church has done in Princeton. You see, that sounds like a crazy plan. Already talking about starting another church out of a church that hasn't already been started yet? Oh, I happen to remember a pastor somewhere preaching a message about being crazy good. I don't quite remember where I heard it at, but maybe you can remember. Yes, it's crazy. But you know what? I kind of remember the Bible talking about a great big mighty God that does some pretty great big mighty things. And you know what? I'd like to find out for myself just how big and how mighty my God truly is. And I'm not putting a timetable on this. All I know is that eventually in the future, I want to reproduce in our church what this church has taught me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And let me tell you, if there's a desire in my heart is this. I want God to show himself strong in behalf of me. Not because I deserve it, but you know what? The people of that area deserve a man of God to come to town, and they deserve to see a God who will show himself strong in behalf of them. Again, thank you, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, for your financial support of myself and for the planning of White River Baptist Church. And Paul here clearly expresses his thankfulness to the church for communicating to his financial needs. Number four, look at verse 17, if you will, with me here. Notice what it says. Paul said this, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Now, Paul here is given the true motive of why he appreciated the financial support. He's saying here, I'm thanking you not necessarily because you gave me something, but Paul understood the greater good of what their giving was going to do for them in eternity. And number four, here's what I want the church to know tonight. By supporting our church plant, eternal rewards are being added to your account. You know, if you've helped with the planning of White River Baptist Church, whether physically, with your time and labor, financially, or both, or however you've helped, you know what you've done? You've already gained some eternal reward. You've had part of the two folks that were saved within the last couple of weeks as we were out soul winning. A young man that's a senior in high school was led to the Lord by Brother Kevin Swarga and his group as they went to the small town of Francisco and went soul winning with us a couple weeks ago. A lady who her and her husband travel around picking the produce in the fields was led to the Lord by Brother Netterville in the trailer court as we were out soul winning a few weeks ago. And church, if you've helped support White River Baptist Church in any way, you know what? Your account in heaven has some credit for those souls that have already been saved. Now listen, your account's going to be credited with all those things and all those things that we do and the people we reach by the efforts of White River Baptist Church. Your account's going to be credited with souls won on the mission field by the missionaries that are going to be supported by our church. Your account's going to be credited on the things that we do to reach out to the community. On and on, the dividends are going to grow. I don't know about you, but I think investing in eternity is a wise investment of my time and resource. By the way, when is that day going to be held in account? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of which it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Listen, church, you do not have to appear at the judgment seat of Christ with no rewards. No, you don't. Listen, let me encourage you. Invest in the eternal. Invest in the eternal. By investing your time and resources into things like White River Baptist Church, you know what you're doing? You're laying on the foundation gold, silver, precious stones. And those types of works will survive the fire that will be applied at the judgment seat of Christ. So yes, the investments mean a lot to me personally and to our new church. And you know, there's no way financially we could do it without you. But you know what? They are also equally beneficial to you and your stewardship that you will one day give an account for. So yes, thank you for investing in our church. But let me say this, you're not just doing it for us. You're doing it for your own stewardship's sake. So again, thank you for that, because fruit will be credited to your account. Number five, look at verse 13. We don't even have to look at it. We all can quote it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the next thing I want this church to know is simply what the verse says, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do I have all the answers to all the problems that I will encounter as I begin to pastor this church? No. Is the work bigger than myself and the wisdom that I've attained thus far in my Christian life enough? No. Will this church plant be a huge success and grow by leaps and bounds? I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of things to be determined that I don't have a clue about right now. But the one thing that I do know is that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Yes, I can. There's a couple principles here that are taught through these verses that can really help us in our Christian lives. First of all is the first two words, I can. When I taught in the Christian school, there are certain things I didn't allow my students to say. One of those main things were the two words, I can't. To me, here's what I said. Here is my phrase. Can't is a what, students? Cuss word. That's right. Can't's a cuss word. Why is can't a cuss word? You know why? Because the Bible clearly says that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, I'll be honest. What made me nervous about becoming a pastor and church planting were some things I didn't know if I could do. But when I was praying about those things, God reminded me of what I taught my students, and my own motto echoed through my brain. I don't claim to know it all, but if God helps me, I can be the best pastor He wants for me to be. And you know what, church? You can do whatever God has called you to do also. Yes, you can. You can be the best bus captain God has called you to be. You can be the best Sunday school teacher God has called you to be. You can be the best soul winner, the best church member of Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You can be. Yes, you can. The second thing about that verse that teaches us is this: through Christ which strengtheneth me. The reason I can is not because of my strength, but because of His strength. God makes it pretty clear all throughout the scriptures that, you know what? That He wants for us to be dependent upon Him. Jesus said it like this in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And you know what, church? If we're called by God and commanded to do a task, you know there's nothing stopping us from accomplishing except ourselves. That's it. Did you know that the devil can't stop you from doing the will of God? He can't stop you. Now, he can try and hinder you. He can fight against you. But you know what? He cannot stop you. The devil can't stop you. The world can't stop you. The only thing that can truly stop you is yourself. And that's why it's so important that we draw our strength from him. I know that without him, I will fail. So I don't want my goal to necessarily be to build a successful church, but I want my goal to make sure that I stay totally dependent upon him and allow him to use me to build his church. Because you know what? It's not my church anyway. It's his church. Amen? So I just want you to know, church, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Jesus said this in John 12:32. By the way, this is the verse I'm preaching on in my first service Sunday morning. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And you know what our job is as Christians? Is to lift him up. That's our job. Lift him up. And if we'll lift him up, he will draw all men unto himself. So I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And let me say this, church, so can you. So can you. Look at the next verse here, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Here's the next thing I want to say to the church tonight is this. According to your giving, God will supply all your needs. You say, now wait a minute, it kind of sounds like an oxymoron. Well, we need to understand the context of the verse. That's exactly what I said, according to your giving. Because based upon the context of these verses, the church at Philippi was given this promise because they supported the man and work of God. By the way, this promise isn't just to any Christian, okay? It's only for those who have given to the work of God, especially in the area of missions. Read the verse, study the context of it, okay? I know so many Christians who want to go out and squander what they have and be unwise stewards with their money, and then they want to try and cry and whine and want to try to claim this verse. Listen, church, this verse is given explicitly to those who know how to give to the work of God. It doesn't even make sense how it works. I mean, think about it. You give, and sometimes not even out of your abundance, but out of your own necessity, yet you still expect to be able to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. How in the world is that supposed to work? You know what it's called? It's called the God factor, okay? I can't explain it. All I know is it works. By the way, that's the way God likes to do things, in such a way as to where man can't figure it out or explain it. You know why? Because if man tries to do it of their own accord, guess what we start doing? We start trying to take credit for it. And let me tell you something. That's why I know Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going to be just fine. Because you have sacrificed and given to see this church planted and the work of God go forth. And you know what? You can no doubt claim this promise. By the way, notice the matter of fact of this verse. I like this. But my God, look at that word, shall supply. Not might, not maybe will, but shall. I believe this verse applies to the needs of the church as a whole. I absolutely believe that. But I also believe it applies to the individuals who have and continue to give to the work of the Lord. I personally experienced this in my own life, and I've heard testimonies of countless of other people that God takes care of who sacrificially give, and God supplies their needs in an unexplained way. By the way, you know this, you've heard this, but it's worth saying again. You'll never outgive God, amen? Not only are you investing in eternity when you give, but you're putting yourself under the promise of a God who says that he will make sure you're taken care of. I mean, how does it get much better than that? Okay, it's kind of like a two-for-one deal. I buy one, get one free, amen? You obey God, you invest in eternity, and God promises to take care of you. So let me encourage you to continue to give to the work of the Lord. By the way, you know what we have here? We have a pastor with vision, amen? And by the way, be glad for that. But you know what vision takes to see accomplished? It takes money. It's what it takes. I mean, if you're going to start a new ministry, where's that going to be financed from? It's going to be financed from the tithes and offerings of God's people is where it's going to be financed from. So church, let me encourage you, continue to give. By the way, you know what? There's a whole lot more churches that need to be planted, amen? Yes, amen. I mean, we have found one spot in the state of Indiana You know how many more spots that are like that within our own state? And then as we look into our broader vision across our own country, and then as we begin the broader vision across the world, hey, listen, there's always going to be things to do. There's always going to be visions to see completed. You know how it's going to happen? The tithes and offerings of God's people. So let me encourage you, church, continue to give. Continue to give. You say, but I might not be able to do this for myself. Listen to me. Hey, let God take care of that, okay? Let Him take care of that. By the way, I know it says here that He'll supply our needs. But you know what I found out about God? God's just not a God that supplies our needs. You know how many wants He gives us? Are you kidding me? Look out in that parking lot tonight. All of us, including myself, drive a very nice vehicle, don't we? Listen, you know what that is? That's God not just supplying our wants, or just not our needs, but giving us nice things. He's going to take care of us, amen? So let's do our part and continue to give to the work of God. And the last thing I want to say tonight to the church is this. Look at verse 20. Notice what it says. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the last thing I want to say, and by the way, I think this is a pretty good thing to end on, is this. It's all about Him. It's what this thing's about, church. I learned that as a very young boy, as Pastor Robert Ross drilled certain things into my head. And one of the things he always drilled in my head was always give God the glory and honor that He deserves. You know, a lot of people, especially people who don't look at things from a spiritual perspective, have asked me and my wife, why are you doing what you're doing? Why? My wife was, I think she was getting her hair done right not too long after we started this process and sold her house. And the lady that did her hair happens to live down our road, so she knew that our house was for sale. And she was asking my wife, she's like, why did you sell your nice home? Why are you leaving a good secure job? Why are you taking your kids out of a good school? Why are you moving to a place you've never been? Why are you uprooting your life and starting over? Why are you moving away from your family? Now, I'll be honest with you. I've even contemplated these questions myself. But the answer that I keep coming back to is the fact that this thing called life isn't about what I want. It's not about my will. It's not about my plans. It's not about my dreams. You know what it's about? It's all about Him, amen? You know, I'm sure Jesus didn't enjoy leaving His heavenly home, His glorified body, and all the things He enjoyed about heaven to come to this sin-cursed earth to die for a bunch of people that for the most part hated Him. Yeah, you know what? He showed us by example that when he prayed in the garden, what this whole thing called life is really about. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what I'm here to say tonight, church? Here's the thing that I found out. When you begin to pursue the will of God, God begins to change your heart, and He causes your desires to change. Let me be very honest with you, okay? And I don't mean this in a bad way, but my heart's not at this church anymore. He's transplanted it. You know where I want to be tonight? I want to be at White River Baptist Church behind my pulpit preaching. Now I'm going to be, amen. Last service, I'm going to get my wish. All right? But you know what God's done? He's taken my desire for the ministry that He gave me here, and He's moved it to the ministry down there. And He's done that. And that's what God will do for us. And church, listen, I think part of me will always be here. But you know, God has changed the desires of my heart for the area He's called me to. Why is that? Because the more I realize that it's all about Him, the more like Him I'll become. That's why. I haven't arrived, nor will I ever. I mean, look at my life. It's easy to see where my shortcomings are at. But let me say this. There's an amazing peace, contentment, and confidence that God gives you when you realize that things in this life are about Him and not in pursuit of what you want to do with your life. And I'll say this. I have experienced in the last few months of my life a fulfillment, a sense of like I belong, like I've never felt in my life before. I felt more alive the last few months preparing for this than I ever have. Not that I wasn't where I was supposed to be in my preparation years, but to know that I'm exactly where God wants me to be to fulfill the moment for which He's created me to do, there's no price tag on the feeling that I feel inside. Now listen, church, why is that? Again, I'm not setting myself up as some supreme example. But all I know is this, you know what? I want to take this thing called life, this short span, but this vapor God's given me, and live in such a way as to bring glory and honor to Him. That's all. That's what I want to do. That's the desire of my heart. Now, there are going to be times I fall short. Absolutely. I'm glad there's verses in the Bible like 1 John 1:9. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, you know what? Sometimes I feel like that's my life verse, all right? I mean, it just seems like the harder you try sometimes, the harder you fall. But listen, a just man rises, falls 7 times, and rises up again. Let me just encourage you, church, remember something. This life's all about Him. By the way, it's almost over. Life, that is. Sermon 2, amen. But life, it's almost over. I mean, just open your eyes and see what's going on. I mean, folks, that trumpet's going to sound any minute now. I believe that. Listen, take your life and live it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, live it for Him. I promise you, there's nothing in this world the devil can try to tempt you with that's worth what it is giving up to doing what God wants you to do. Nothing. Nothing. Live for the Lord. So farewell to my beloved. You're very close and dear to my heart. We're still going to be working together. Thank you for all your financial support. By supporting our church plant, eternal rewards are being added to your account. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. According to your giving, God will supply all your needs. And remember this, it's all about Him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for the book of Philippians and the Apostle Paul and the example he was to us. And Lord, just thank you so much, God. So many things are going through my mind and heart right now. And Lord, I love this church. I love this church family, God. And I'm so appreciative to this point you've brought me to in my life and all the investments that's been made. And Lord, I'm excited about the future, God, of what you're going to do. God, thank you for using this church, God, to get a work started in a place that so desperately needs it. And I pray that you continue to bless Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray that you would allow it to go forward and have its best years ahead. Bless Pastor, Lord, and thank you for the vision he has for this church and give him strength and wisdom. And God, help us, Lord, please. We need you. And I pray, Lord, you would be with White River Baptist Church, God, as we begin to dig in and try to reach the people, the community. God, please help us. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. I pray for souls saved and lives to be changed. God, help us, we pray. And again, Lord, thank you for this church and what it's done for us. I pray that you bless our time of invitation this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.